Yeah, unite.
Africa.
Unite.
Yeah, let's unite.
Africa.
Unite.
Let's unite.
Hello and welcome to the program Rule of Law, a one-hour program that spotlights the rule of law in Liberia. This program is sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. My name is Uriah Stuga. Today on the program, we'll be looking at the rule of law in Liberia, the justice system, access to justice, the role of Carter Center in promoting the rule of law in Liberia, and of course, the importance for the rule of law in post-war Liberia. To discuss these topics, we have with me in studio, Councilor Lemuel Reeves and John Hummel, Project Manager of the Carter Center in Liberia. Councilor Reeves, we'd like to say welcome to Rule of Law.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Mr. Hummel, welcome to Rule of Law.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Okay, we will be looking at the justice system in Liberia, access to justice, the role of Carter Center in promoting the rule of law, and of course the importance for the rule of law in post-war Liberia. If you would like to participate on the program, just call 06-594-314. That's 06-594-314 and make a contribution on the rule of law. Councilor Reeves, let's begin with you by asking you, what exactly is this rule of law? When we talk about rule of law, what is it?
Rule of law involves the process, if you may say, of people not acting in an arbitrary manner or taking the law into their own hands. There are laws that govern the conduct of people in society. And these laws are the building blocks on which society builds. It is what keeps society functional and orderly. Now, the rule of law, conforming to the rule of law involves conforming with the laws that are on the books, not doing things in an orderly manner, due process, the court system, and all of that wrap up into something. This means that we do not act in any manner we wish to act. Society has set up laws and code of conduct for how society is supposed to operate, how people should behave in society. And the rule of law involves such components of the criminal justice system, the police, the courts, and the corrections. And these things together working along make a stable society.
Okay, so one will ask the importance of rule of law. How important is it that we respect the rule of law, especially owing to our recent past, our bloody civil war, and that now we're trying to reconstruct Liberia? How important is it that we respect the rule of law?
If we respect the rule of law, then we can assured of a stable, peaceful, viable, developing society that will continue to develop. It's a society that can grow because there are set rules that we all conform to. Now, we all saw what happened when rule of law broke down, especially during the war years. There was chaos, there was anarchy, everything went down the drain. So the rule of law is key in the stabilization of the society, the sustenance of peace, the maintenance of peace, the development of the Liberian society as a whole. And it's incumbent upon every Liberian, every foreign resident within the borders of Liberia to work along with the government, civil society, and everybody to develop the rule of law and the promotion and enhance the adherence to the rule of law in this country.
Mr. Hummel, you are project manager of the Carter Center in Liberia. Carter Center, when the name Carter Center comes up, what people think about is elections. The Carter Center's traditional role has been monitoring of elections all over the world. Today we see you quite involved in something different from what you have been accustomed to doing. Why have you turned to put your focus on the promotion of rule of law?
Well, you're absolutely right. The Carter Center was first in Liberia for elections, and we do election work all over the world. The government of Liberia asked President Carter and the Carter Center to come to Liberia and do our small part to help with the rule of law. I think that happened because the government was so impressed with President Carter and the work he's done in elections. And the government realized you can have a free and fair election, and then when the leaders get in there, if there's no rule of law, the system will break down, and we know what happens when the system breaks down. So the goal was, the Carter Center's done good work on elections, well, let's see if they can help Liberians in the rule of law. So it's a new project for us. It was 3 years ago. It's not so new now. We've been working at it for some time, and Liberians have been very receptive, and you know, through their welcoming of us, we're able to do our small part to help.
Okay, let's talk about the still on your role in promoting the rule of law in Liberia. The Carter Center is quite involved in a lot of things. We were in Bomi County, we're in Banga, and we're in Zuwaju quite recently, where the Carter Center sponsored a series of conferences to promote the rule of law amongst traditional leaders. I want to ask you, for the sake of our listening audience, the importance or the objective of those conferences.
Sure. One of the things that the Carter Center does is we reach out to the traditional leaders in the country. Of course, laws are made in Monrovia, but if you make the laws in Monrovia and you don't reach out to the traditional people in the rural areas, it doesn't matter one whit to those people because they haven't heard about the laws and they haven't heard from the people in government what the laws are. And you can write every law in the book, but if people don't understand them, they're not going to be able to follow them. So what the Carter Center does is we deliver messages from the government in Liberia to the traditional leaders. We say, look, this is what your government is doing in regard to laws. But we also do something else. We take messages from the traditional leaders back to Monrovia, and we tell the government ministers and deputy ministers, this is what the traditional leaders are thinking. And by making sure there's that dialogue back and forth, Liberians will be better able to come up with a system that works for them. You can't have, you know, people, the traditional leaders doing their thing and not communicating to Monrovia, and the leaders in Monrovia doing their thing and not communicating to the traditional leaders. So Carter Center is that bridge between the two groups.
Okay, on the program today, we will be hearing a series of voices. We'll be bringing in those comments, and then we'll be discussing. And so I hope you listen to our audience, Olga. This is the program Rule of Law. The program is sponsored by Carter Center, and of course, in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. We have with us in studio Councillor Lemuel Reeves and Mr. John Hummel. He is the project manager of Carter Center here in Liberia. And together, we are discussing access to justice, the importance of the rule of law in Liberia, the role of Carter Center in Liberia. And so if you'd like to participate, just call 06594314 and let us know exactly what your contribution is as it relates to the rule of law. So, Mr. Hummel, let's listen to these comments.
In order for us to be in a position to adequately respond to the issue of access to justice, problems that currently exist in providing access to justice to all in Liberia, permit me to, on behalf of the Ministry of Justice, express our deep gratitude to the Carter Center, one of our reliable international partners in promoting the rule of law in Liberia. The Carter Center has been an effective partner in terms of educating Liberians on the Constitution, the statutes, and the relationships between the statutes and traditional practices. It has used the mass media in its efforts, like most of our local international partners, in educating Liberians, particularly rural Liberians, on the rule of law. But its most effective method has been the person-to-person contact with rural Liberians and holding palaver hot type conversations with traditional leaders on practices that have been declared by the Supreme Court of Liberia as unlawful and unconstitutional, such as sovereignty or tribe idea. We suggest that the Carter Center include education on peaceful settlement of land disputes on its already loaded plate.
That was the voice of Liberia's Solicitor General, Mr. Hummer, and he was quite commending the role of Carter Center in Liberia. One of the things he talked about is the role you are playing in people-to-people connection, educating people on the importance of the rule of law. So that brings me to the other point. You are involved in that kind of work in Harper, Maryland County. Tell us a little bit about the Harper Project. What exactly Carter Center does in Harper, Maryland County, or sure. In the southeastern region?
Yeah, within the five counties in the southeast, we have two main programs. One, it's delivering education to the residents in the southeast, and we do that through different means. We have drama groups that go out. There's the Southeastern Women's Development Association and the Interreligious Council of Liberia, among others. Those are Liberian organizations that go into the communities and try to educate rural Liberians on how they can get along, on ways to solve disputes, on new laws that are being passed by the government in Monrovia. So that's one thing we do. They travel around to all the villages in the southeast. The other thing we do through the Catholic Justice and Peace Commission is we help people settle disputes through mediation. People come in, they have a dispute, maybe the court system is nearest court's too far away, or they can't afford to access the court system. Maybe they don't trust the court system. Maybe they're scared of the court system. Whatever reason, if the court system is not an option for them, the Catholic Justice and Peace Commission will get the two disputing parties together. Maybe they have a dispute about a fence or a property issue, or there's been a fight or a theft. Whatever, get together. Let's talk about it. What's your view? What's your view? What do you think should happen? What do you think should happen? Let's talk it. And by talking it, oftentimes people realize they can settle their disputes and they didn't even need a court system. So that's what we do in the southeast.
Thank you very much. Let's join Councillor Reeves. Councillor Reeves, you are a counselor at law. You are familiar with the court system in Liberia. One of the reasons why, or at least that's what people say, one of the reasons why people resort to mob violence is a distrust of the court system in Liberia. Do you think Liberians have enough reason to trust the courts right now?
Well, yes, I would say there's a need and there's adequate reason to want for the populace to have some level of confidence in the courts. While there may be a lot of problems and faults in the system, there are serious efforts to improve the system. And like I said earlier, absent the involvement of the court, people tend to want to resort to taking the law into their own hands, mob violence, and that sort of thing is terrible in any society. Is a negative factor that impacts on the social aspect of the society, because people taking the law into their own hands run the risk of getting the innocent sometimes to be punished based upon misunderstanding. Whereas if we go by the rule of law and the due process, the accused is has a time to be confronted with the allegations against him. He has, there's a point in which he can produce evidence and witnesses in his own defense. This gives him the opportunity to maybe dispel any negative or wrong impression that an accuser may have. Now, under our system of jurisprudence, the accuser has the burden of proving an allegation against someone who's accused. In other words, if I say you are a rogue, I must be able to prove that you are a rogue. But if we do not use the rule of law and our legal system as we have it, and we tend to want to settle things our own way, there have been many cases where innocent people have been killed in some cases, have been injured, their property have been destroyed because of misconceptions and perceptions that were entirely wrong. So our people, the Liberian people, the populace, must have that intel. It must be drilled into their mind that the rule of law, using the court system, using the police to bring your complaint, going through the court system to get redress for wrong, is the best way. It offers us the best result. Now, some people may say, oh, this court system is bulky, is burdensome, there are too many delays. But like somebody once said when I was in law school, justice is not a thing like a fire brigade. Yes, there are delays and some bureaucratic. There are people who are in the system who are still corrupt and want to extort money from the party litigant. These people are still around. But we must realize that there is a serious effort on the part of the judiciary, the Ministry of Justice, and other people involved working with international partners like the Carter Center, like UNMIL, and other people to rehabilitate the system, to make a change. And gradually, it is working, it's getting, it may be slow, but we are getting there, and I'm sure. So therefore, it becomes our responsibility as Liberians to follow the rule of law.
Okay, but surely we do appreciate and understand the role of Carter Center and other organizations or institutions, like you said. But if the rule of law must be upheld, surely you agree with me that it is the greater responsibility of the government to do more, to take the first step. Do you think, as a lawyer, as someone who is accustomed or who understands the legal system in Liberia, do you think this government is doing enough to encourage or to appreciate the efforts of its partners like the Carter Center?
But let me put it this way. The government is making an extreme effort to work along with the Carter Center and other international partners. Evidence of this, the recent traditional leaders meeting, it was the Carter Center worked in collaboration with the Ministry of Internal Affairs and the Ministry of Justice. There have been other programs that the judiciary, for example, have been a part of working. What people are doing now is making an effort to change. The government, I believe, from my observation, has appreciated the problem, that there are problems in the system, and they, I think there is a political will to deal with this problem. And I think there should be the national will to, on the part of all Liberians, to become involved in the process. Reporting corrupt judges and all these other things. There needs to be something. The Chief Justice cannot sit up in his office in a vacuum and take decisions without people who have been affected bringing complaint and evidence to him so that he can be able to take the adequate action.
Okay, let's listen to Associate Justice Kabina Jana, and then we take it on from there.
In order for us to be in a position to adequately respond to the issue of access to justice, a lot of actors will have to come and examine it in a critical way. From the standpoint of the judiciary, I'm of the opinion that we also need to look at existing facilities and capacity of people. We did a survey a few months ago looking at the educational profile of people that work in the judiciary. And we tried to look at not only magistrates and judges, but we look at all of the people who work and associate with the court system. We limited the survey to Monserrato County as a start. The result from that survey was quite an eye-opener. It shows that all of the people who work in the court system, from circuit judges to clerks, both the clerical staff in the court as well as the filing clerks, the educational level was said to be 40% of all of those persons being those who obtained education 6th grade and below. So you have people mining the court facility whose education, as per our survey, is 6th grade and below. We in fact have been able to identify people who can read nor write. Now, this was only for Monserrato County. Monserrato County, where most of the national facilities are available.
That was the Associate Justice, Kabina Jana. You heard him quite clearly. He was speaking based on a survey conducted by the Justice Ministry, I guess, and he spoke about the capacity of people who work in the judiciary, in the courts. that they found that 40% of those in the courts, judges, clerks, or whatever, fall below sixth grade level. And there are some, in fact, who he says, cannot even read or write. Where does that leave the justice system and the rule of law?
Well, that's true. There is a definite problem in the justice system. And it is good that a survey has been done to identify that problem. The next step is to how to address the problem. And like the survey shows that the Associate Justice Janice said, the survey shows that a majority of people are below sixth grade, and in some cases, illiterate. This is is a terrible situation for any judiciary anywhere in the world, because people in the judiciary should have some standard. Now, what the problem is, where do we go from here? I know there are serious efforts on the part of the judiciary to build the capacity of staff members, for example, working with international partners. I think recently you heard about the launch of the James A.A. Pierre Judicial Institute. Yes. This is an institute that's not only going to cater to judges, it's going to cater to train clerks of court, sheriffs, bailiffs, court recorders, and all these things to improve their capacity so the delivery of justice and access to justice can be improved in the country. We do have a problem, yes, and Justice Janet is right. But you see, as I said earlier, there is a will to change because the judiciary on its own has done a survey. They realize that it's a problem and they try to identify the problem. The problem now, working with international partners to address and solve the problems.
Mr. Hummel, you listen to the comment by the Associate Justice, Cabinet Janet, a serious problem of lack of capacity on the part of people involved in the courts. Is the Carter Center involved in a capacity building for people in the courts, judges, clerks, whatever?
Well, to some extent we are. We've played a role in the creation of the Judicial Training Institute that the counselor had just mentioned. So, and the counselor is absolutely right. Yes, there's a problem that's been identified, but the best thing about identifying the problem is that you know what you have to deal with. Before that survey, no one knew the extent of the problem. Now we know the extent of the problem, and by training, we can fix the problem, and it's happening. So you can look at the survey one of two ways. Well, one, it's depressing and sad and unfortunate, but two, you can look at it a positive way. Well, we know where we are now, and then we can do a survey in 2 years, and let's see where we are then, and I bet you that we're better off then. So I'm not discouraged. The Carter Center is not discouraged, and I hope Liberians are not discouraged, because by knowing your challenges, you're better able to overcome them.
The voice of John Hummel, he's the project manager of Carter Center right here in Liberia. And the program is the Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice here on Lux FM 106.6. If you would like to participate, just call us on 06594314. And of course, we're discussing the justice system in Liberia, access to justice, the role of the Carter Center in promoting the rule of law in Liberia, and the importance for the rule of law in post-war Liberia. Also in studio, we have Councillor Lemuel Reeves, a counselor at law in Liberia, someone who is quite familiar with our judicial system. Councillor, one thing you said is that even though the problems have been identified, but there is a goodwill on the part of government to improve on those problems, identify the problems, work on them, and then move the country ahead. Now, Liberians, we have witnessed, while on the overall, some may say that things are improving, but we have witnessed series of violence in Liberia recently. The killing in Margibi County. There was another one in Banga where angry mob surrounded a police station demanding the release of some suspect so that they would carry on mob violence. Why, in your opinion, could be responsible for this little deviation from the campaign for the rule of law?
Well, first of all, criminality is something that happens in every society. Unfortunately for Liberia, we are a post-conflict situation. And as most sociologists will tell you, in this sort of thing, you will find a lot of increase in criminal acts, increase in aberrant behavior, antisocial behavior. But on the whole, there is a way to combat it. Yes, there were people went and took the law into their own hands in Margibi by killing some, massacring some young men who had gone to work on someone's farm. But the government has taken steps.
perpetrators have been identified, have been formally charged, and placed before the court. They will be given a trial, and upon when they are found guilty, the penalty under the law will be applied against them to serve as a deterrent. More violence, as we saw, as you mentioned, in Banga, where someone, it was suspected, there was not even a suspect at the police station, and because of rumors, again, I say rumors, the crowd surrounded the police station and wanted to cause destruction of property and take the law in there. And these are the things we have to guard against. Now, if the crowd had been given the will to attack the police station and destroy that building that had just been previously destroyed and been refurbished by our international partner, do you see the situation we go? It sends a signal that there are no law and order in Liberia, which is very bad for this country. This re-emphasizes the fact that we have to apply the rule of law in all our action. We may have emotions that may be stirred up, but the law does not operate on emotion. And as I said, justice is not like a fire brigade. We must give it a time. We must give it some time for this court system to work. Yes, the court system have, as I said, have bottleneck and problem, but they are being worked out. And gradually, in 2005 or 2004, 2005, there were court owners operating only in Maserato County and or maybe one or two places about Grand Bassa or Magibi. But now we have courts open throughout the country. That's an improvement. There have been training for prosecutors, defense counsel, and all. I think in most countries there's a public defender now to represent indigent people. That was not in the system before. So there is improvement gradually, but we're going to get there, all working together.
Okay, another point I want us to talk about is this issue of rights. You talk to people out there and they tell you that, well, look, lawyers nowadays, human rights lawyers, whatever, they seem to be more concerned about the rights of people who commit crimes. People who commit crimes, they seem to be more concerned about them and not about, I mean, victims of crimes. But before we go to that, I would like to listen to Councillor Dempster Brown. He's a renowned human rights activist.
We are not supporting robbery, hijacking, terrorism, or criminal offense, but we have to operate in keeping with international standards. Now, Liberia is a signatory to protocols and conventions that prohibit death penalty. I see in the bill that one who is guilty of these hijacking and robbery be sentenced to death. Say, no, that punishment is very harsh. Out of 25 years in prison, or 10 years, you can't kill a man because Liberia affixed a signature to these protocols that prohibit that and conventions. They went further to say that the man should be penalty, he should be put to death, maximum security prison. Now those are, you know, in the 60s. This was some punishment that they used to give around here. And today Liberia is moving forward. So we believe that we cannot continue with the primitive stage and continue to do things that will isolate the Liberian society. We want this country to be on the level of other international, you know, nations.
Dempster Brown, there are some people who are pushing for harsher punishment for people who commit crimes, serious crimes like armed robbery, rape, especially one that lead to the killing of somebody or to the death of somebody. Yet we see Councillor Dempster Brown and others campaigning for lesser punishment, that the punishment is too harsh. And so people are kind of confused, but where does that leave us? Because they see the kind of punishment to be a deterrence to crime. What do you think?
Well, it's a matter of opinion. As Councillor Brown said in his statement there, Liberia has signed certain international protocols that forbid the death penalty. But as yet, that law has not been domesticated. In other words, our legislature has not made that law a part of our legal system. So therefore, we still have laws on the book that prescribe the death penalty, for example, murder, or armed robbery where death occurs, treason where death occurs. There's still provision on the law. In other words, these international conventions have to be domesticated. Now, on the rights of defendants, under our system of jurisprudence, our constitution provides that everybody is presumed innocent until, you may have seen me, 50 persons may have been here and seen me take a knife and say, stab somebody. That the law says I'm not guilty yet until you can take me to court, present evidence, and then I am guilty. I may be a suspect.
I may be a defendant, but I am not guilty until due process has taken place. That's the system. That's what our Constitution provides. Victims have rights. Defendants have rights. But I, for a long time in Liberia, the rights of defendants were seriously overlooked. So I do not share the view that human rights lawyers are only protecting the rights of defendants. I think they are concerned that the rights of one defendant should not be abused. That's correct. There's an adage in the law that says it is better that 10 guilty men walk free than one innocent man be convicted of a crime that he and punished for a crime he didn't commit. And that's the way our system operates. I do think that there should be a balance between the rights of the victim and the rights of the defendant. That the defendant's rights, we should not overlook that of the victim and vice versa. So we have to find balance there. But victims do have rights, defendants do have rights. And I think the human rights people are perceived as protecting only the defendant criminal. But what of the guy that is caught for something and is innocent? Don't you think he has rights? What about the guy who has committed an infraction and because of lack of legal representation, he's been languishing at the Moreira Central Prison for 1 year for a crime that probably he would have gone to jail for 30 days and he's been in jail 1 year? These are some of the issues I think our human rights people try to race. I'm not defending the human rights community in any form or manner, but I think there should be a balance between the rights of the defendant and the rights of the victims.
So the human rights lawyers do play an important role in the rule of law in Liberia?
Oh, definitely, most assuredly. Many of these lawyers provide free services for indigents, for example, people who cannot afford pro bono or what we call free in the recent trial. In other cases, other human rights lawyers, Counselor Toh, for example, I remember defending some people in a murder trial, where it appears that their rights have been violated. And other lawyers, they are not just, I think they serve a very useful purpose in our society. I think if we could learn to work along together with them, we'll begin to understand each other instead of making blanket accusations that they are only interested in the rights of criminals.
Councillor Lemuel Reeves, thank you. Let's focus a little bit on the just ended conference in Zwedru, the one in Banga and the one in Topmanburg, Bomi County, sponsored by Kato Center, working in close collaboration with the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Justice. But I have spoken to a lot of people, and they seem to really appreciate the work Kato Center is doing in Liberia, especially its role in promoting the rule of law in Liberia. But there is this concern: how long will Kato Center be here in Liberia? I posed that question to Mr. Hummel in Zwedru and, of course, somewhere in Mamba Point. And so he's here. It's good that he's here. People want to get an assurance from the Carter Center. But let's hear him speaking from Zwedru.
Absolutely. President Jimmy Carter and his foundation were in Liberia before the Civil War, during the Civil War, and after the Civil War. We're not going anywhere. We're here to help Liberians as long as they want us here. If they ever tell us to leave, we'll leave. But if they want us here, we'll stay here to help them solve their problem.
Mr. Hummel, we spoke in Zwedru. That was a commitment from you that Carter Center will remain in Liberia. The conferences have come and gone. Will the Carter Center stay in Liberia?
The Carter Center will be in Liberia as long as Liberians want us here. The President, President Jimmy Carter, is committed to this country, but we respect Liberians' rights to solve their problems in the way they deem most appropriate. So the day we are asked to leave is the day we leave, and if people want us here, we will remain here as long as they want us here. We are committed to this country, but it will be Liberians who solve their problems and Liberians who make sure this country is what they want it to be. We are here to help in the small way we can as long as people want us here. We're happy to be here, and we'll stay as long as people want us.
The conferences in the regions were focused on teaching traditional leaders on new and existing laws, and your organization was quite instrumental in facilitating those conferences. We're dealing with traditional leaders, you listened to them, you heard some of their comments, you heard some of the objections, some of the recommendations they made. And I would just want us, before you can respond and Councillor Reeves can come in, let's hear some of the resolutions they made in Banga.
Government should give traditional authority the power to build jail in the Chikdong headquarters in order to maintain peace and exercise their authorities. And no man should be his wife. All traditional practices that are not harmful should be allowed to stand. Government should give value to our traditional way of solving problems. Government should address our children's dress code in order to avoid rape. Chiefs are not respected because lack of support from central government. And I always say,
yeah.
And some are not on payroll. And one of the most important things, our chiefs are not on payroll. They don't have offices. All local chiefs should have local chief headquarters where the people will walk to you and be respected. It can even be on the Palawa Hut. We accept the rape laws of the Republic of Liberia, but with the exception of the man and his wife. We repeat our very important. We say we accept the rape law, but the one between the man and his wife will not take that one there. The man and his wife in the room, no window there. And when you go to court, you can look at windows. But two of them inside, the woman said, the man rape me. Who will go to that one there? So we say that one room one day. But from 10 years to 17 years old, we say that one is doing, that's how they rape. That's all?
Yeah.
All right. No girl child under the ages of 18 shall get into a marriage. All such a rule should remain with the exception of the harmful ones, such as using hot collars, tree bags, we say that one ago. Then putting mercy into a person's eyes, that one ago.
The voices of traditional leaders from the Jess and the conference, Mr. Hummel. You listen to some of the concerns they raised, some of the recommendations I believe they have submitted to the Carter Center for Onward Submission to National Government, which is what you really wanted to do to make sure that government hears from them. Lack of support to chiefs to carry out their work. They feel that chiefs are not respected in their local communities because government is not supporting them. The rape law, they accept the rape law, but with exception. They feel that that part of the rape law is too general in their opinion, and so government needs to revisit the rape law. And the most controversial issue from top member to Banga to Zuedru was the Sasewu or trial by ordeal. They seem quite ready to accept the change, but they feel that the law should be looked at closely and government should allow them to practice what they see as harmful practices of the Sasewu. What is the way forward in between these twists?
Well, let's start with the Sasewu. As I mentioned earlier, these conferences served a few purposes. One was to explain to these traditional leaders what some of the laws were that they may not have known about. Many of them were surprised to hear that Sasewu has been illegal in this country for many years, the 1960s or 20s, the counselor can tell us, but we're talking far back. So it's illegal now, but okay, it's illegal now, it's still being done all around the country. So we talked to the chiefs about it, and I was actually encouraged by what I heard. I heard the chiefs say, we don't want to hurt our people, we don't like hurting our people, we don't like to see our people hurt. That, start with that. But two, the leaders said, we have a need because of our culture, our history and our tradition, we have a need to solve disputes in our communities. If you take Sasewu from us, how are we going to solve disputes? So what I heard from that was, we don't want to hurt our people, but we still want to solve disputes locally. So I see a solution out of that. You can help the chiefs devise ways to solve disputes locally that don't harm their people. So we haven't got to that point yet, but I'm hearing possibilities, and I'm hearing that they're happy that we're there listening, and they're happy that we're delivering messages back to Monrovia. Now, as for wanting offices and pay, that's understandable. Every government official in Liberia is underfunded and overworked, and the chiefs are no exception. So, yeah, if there's a way that we can help give them some resources and facilities to better, help their people. Sure, we'd like to do it. Can it be done? Well, we'll talk more and we'll see. And as for spousal rape, well, that's an issue, absolutely. We were able to tell the traditional leaders through Council Reeves that it's illegal now to rape your wife, but you can pass a law and write it on the books, but you have to change people's minds. And putting a piece of a pen to paper doesn't change people's minds. So, but by talking it, and we'll get there. But you're right, that's an issue that they're still not comfortable with yet, no doubt.
Councilor Reeves, you did a couple of presentations in Banga and Zwedru. We have a clip on your presentation. We'll come to that. But do you have anything to say on what you just heard on the clip?
Well, it shows you, just like John said, our traditional leaders have their views that need to be appreciated. In the issue of Sasewu, for example, I was in Zwedru. They told me a very interesting thing. They got the bad Sasewu and the good Sasewu. The one, so I asked them what they do, and they told me, the Sasewu was the one that you take internally that can kill, and those ones should be dealt with. Our constitution says that it provides us to keep those positive traditional practices that we have, to keep them where we go. So they were saying that certain forms of Sasewu is good, certain forms of Sasewu is bad. With me, that's a matter of opinion. Because I still see the very tribe I would do, Sasewu suggests that you're going to incriminate, you're going to violate our constitutional provision against self-incrimination, due process, and all that sort of thing. I wonder how you approve Sasewu. It tends to be very difficult to prove in a court of law. That's a matter that can be discussed, and we can find a way around it by sitting and engaging our traditional people. But on the irresponsible rape and all these sort of things, it was very interesting to hear a traditional woman. There were most of the traditional favored laws against spousal rape. But there was a woman who stood up and asked a very pertinent question. If you and a man have several children, you live together, and one day, how do you expect your husband to go to jail for, say, 10 years, 5 years for raping? How are you going to explain that to your children? So there are going to be difficulties in getting this certificate of spousal rape. But I still do feel that a woman's right to her body is her body, and she has the right to tell her husband, I don't want to sleep with you tonight, and we're all being forced into sleeping. But that's a matter we can sit down with our traditional people, and through sensitization and be making them aware of the different things that we have in our society that we have to improve. What I saw at the conference is that our traditional leaders are willing to accept change. They were willing to accept change, but they just need to be taught. In fact, many of them didn't know about the new inheritance law when it comes to traditional marriage, for example, that you can't force a man to pay woman damages, or you can't force your wife to confess, or you can't force your young daughter to get married to somebody that she doesn't care for. These things, to them, they didn't know about it. Some of them even went to the center and say, why were they not consulted? But that's the right. I think they should have been consulted. But overall, I saw that they are amenable to change. And once the message is delivered in the right way, where you don't offend their sensibilities, where you don't make them feel that they are complete fools, they are willing to adapt change.
The program is The Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center, in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. And we have with us in studio Councillor Lemuel Reeves and Mr. John Hummel, Project Manager of the Carter Center. If you have any good idea out there and you would like to let us know, maybe you'd like to contribute, just call 0659-4314, even though we are gradually slipping into our closing time. Councillor Reeves, let's listen to this clip.
They say the property acquired or only woman, either before or during her marriage, belongs to her exclusively, I mean herself, of her husband, and she is therefore free to do any lawful business. They say any husband who attempts to control a woman's property or you force her and control it, huh? They can charge you for theft of property. Yeah, when you say you see a woman property than the law. If your wife has property and you can force her to take it from her to control it, to see all the money that you because I have a woman. They can charge you with theft of property. You go to court, you can find you to be that charge you for not more than $1,000.
Councillor Reeves, you were talking there in Banga. This inheritance, this dowry rights, it was one of the sticky and controversial issues too. What exactly are they?
Well, as you know, in 2003 we passed it, there was this new inheritance law that affects traditional marriages, people who get married in a traditional system. Because before that time, a woman in a traditional marriage was a property of her husband, and when he died, regardless of the fact that she had worked with him to acquire property, she could not get letters of administration or could not administer the property. In fact, it was taken away. She became like a property that could be passed on to his brother or his other relatives in his family. The law has changed now. Women in traditional marriages have the right to go to the probate court or the circuit court in the county to obtain letters of administration to administer the property of the dead.
Mr. Homer, just before we come to our final clip, one of the issues that came up in during the conferences, the traditional leaders accused lawmakers of sitting in Monrovia, making laws, not referring to them, not going back to them, consulting them. Can we see Carter Center sometime in the future bringing traditional leaders together with their lawmakers? Can we expect that kind of arrangement?
Well, that's a great idea. Thank you for it. The model we have been using is, as I mentioned before, taking messages back and forth. But the next step is actually to bring some of the legislators from these districts to come with the traditional leaders and try to get them together in one room rather than delivering messages back and forth. So that's a good idea. And I think we'll see if we can make that happen.
Councilor Reese, isn't that a good idea?
Excellent idea. I think an excellent idea. And like you already said, in both in Banga and in Zwedu, traditional leaders complained about not being consulted when this new law was passed. Well, all our people should be consulted in some form or manner. That's why we have these public hearings. But they may not be aware. I think in future, when our legislature is passing these major laws that will change major things in our social fabric, I think we need to maybe expand our public hearing. Just a suggestion here. What the public hearing, maybe could, instead of waiting for the people to come to Monrovia to the chamber, maybe we need to find committees that can go out to the people to seek their views and their ideas. You know, all our traditional values are not negative. There are a lot of things in our culture, our traditional values that can be find a way. We need to find a way to merge this cultural thing into our laws, into the judiciary system, into the regular court system, so that way. And this all thing can be part of the reform process in Liberia.
Let's listen to this clip.
Earlier this morning, you heard a partner speaking about the step forward to justice. People still don't believe that the system can work. And our work is to help them to appreciate the system. We don't have structure put into place. That's a challenge. There are places that are hard to reach. In the southeast, it's very hard to go by places. You tell people to go and report cases, to go to court. There are no court houses. Seek your first instinct in criminal justice is the police. You don't have access to the police. So those are all challenges. And trying to bring the voices of the community to the level of the government to find a dialogue where people will honor. I'm not very sure the people that died in Makibe should have died if they went, if they followed through the process, the true process of law. So that's why we're telling people, mob violence is not the way forward. But it will take time for people to have a change of mind
I mean, you know that when people are aggrieved, they want quick solution. The legal process is not what you just come today and you get a solution. So the rule of law, the sensitization we're doing is now, we don't expect it to just take root and all this going to be over in a day's time. It's a process, not an event. So it's going to take time. Gradually, people will begin to see reason to follow through the court system or to follow through mediation, whatever way they can set up problem, and not the violent way. That's why we...
Okay, the voice of Pee Wee Flumoku, he's one of your staff members. Mr. Hummel, he struck a very important point. A process and not an event. If you look at the challenges, one would feel that, well, I mean, the rule is too tough, we might not make it. Is Carter Center deter about the challenges ahead?
Oh, there are challenges. I don't have to tell Liberians the challenges they have. They live with them every day. But no, we're not deterred. We're hopeful. What Pee Wee said is true. Justice is a process. It's not an event. We're going through the process now. And I understand that some people can't wait. They're frustrated. They're hurt. They see their family members hurt. They're struggling. They lash out because they want a quick result. But that's not the way, because lashing out for a quick result might make you feel good for 5 seconds or 10 seconds if you beat the person who hurt your daughter. But long term, that's not going to help you. It's not going to help your country. It's going to bring you down, your neighbors down, your family down, your country down. And the small part that the Carter Center can do to help people realize that this is a process, not an event. And if we all work together, we can achieve the goal we all have of the rule of law prevailing in this country so Liberians can have the country that they so desperately want. If we can all do that, I'm not deterred. I'm extremely hopeful.
Councilor Reeves, in maybe just 1 minute, can you say your last word?
Well, I encourage every Liberian to follow the path of respect for the rule of law. Avoid more violence. Changes may be slow, but they are gradual and they will get there. Like Pee Wee said in that clip, it's not an event, it's a process. And it's a process that everybody needs to get involved in and feel a part of. I mean, we all are involved in this, but we all are in this boat going down the stream together. And we all must find a way to paddle the boat in the right direction so we don't end up going over the waterfalls or end up on the rocks. And we all can do it by dropping some of our personal views, prejudices, and biases, and working for the collective good. Doing in our mind, basically, I think all Liberians are decent people and know what is good for the country. I think we need to put our thoughts in the right direction and move this country forward. We have a beautiful country here, a lot of wonderful things that happen to Liberia now, and let's all keep it going this way, and we should enjoy ourselves and our future, our children and grandchildren will enjoy this country and its full potentials.
Mr. Hummel, those are now your last comments. You still have a few comments to make.
Well, let me just get off the rule of law for a minute. I'm sorry, I know the name of the show, but I've been in Liberia for a month now, and I just want to say thank you to all the Liberians who welcomed me. This is my my new home, and I feel so fortunate and blessed to be here. So and thank you, Liberians.
And you might want to call your name, given you in Grandjide.
Kenyu Wato is my new name, and I'm proud of it.
All right, the voice of John Hummel. He's the project manager of Carter Center. And you heard a voice earlier of Councillor Lemuel Reeves. He's a renowned counselor at law in Liberia. Together we've been discussing access to justice, the role of Carter Center in promoting the rule of law in Liberia, the importance for the rule of law in post-war Liberia. And the program has been Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. Liberians, let's respect the rule of law as we rebuild our war-torn country. God bless you.
Keep on fighting, and women and children suffering, and then the youth stand crying.